Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, and from God our Father. Amen. Bradley found this awesome picture for me today, for All Things New. You know, I was kind of thinking about these texts and, you know, thinking about being in spring, and this is what came to mind, that God makes all things new. Because unfortunately, you know, the title of the sermon really is going to be Anthrax. It doesn't really work with spring that well, so it is what it is. When we look at the gospel lesson, if you want to open your bulletins, kind of the interesting thing there is, you know, we've kind of been following the story of the resurrection after Jesus rose the last couple weeks. And, you know, so we started off on Easter morning with Easter, right? And then the next week, we walked to Emmaus with Jesus and maybe a couple disciples or maybe one of his uncles, right, during the afternoon morning. Then the week after that, we looked at the upper room where the disciples were, and Jesus came to be with them. Last week, we looked at Thomas, which was then the next Sunday night. So this week, in this text, we're on the Sea of Tiberias. And so where we are in terms of the timeline is somewhere between the Sunday after the resurrection and somewhere between Ascension Day, which is 40 days after the resurrection. So I don't know exactly what day it's on, but it's in there somewhere, okay? So this is the third time that Jesus appears. Y'all are probably still wondering what anthrax means. Hold that thought. So as we kind of looked at this text, it's kind of fun because, of course, the fishing retreat is this weekend, so why not tell some fish stories, right? So we have some big fish there. Unfortunately, this picture is from a few years ago, and the fish stories that I have to tell are going to be tall tales because the fish weren't really biting, for me at least, out there. We caught a couple, but they were like really big, and I had to throw them back because they're too big. Yeah, y'all can understand what that means. But you know, when we look at the story, it does talk about fish, and you know, the interesting thing is Peter's out fishing again, which is his normal thing to do, right? He was a fisherman. And so when they go out, Jesus, you know, kind of in some disguise somehow, tells them to throw it on the other side of the boat. They're empty, and then they caught 153 fish, probably like that, that are big old guys. You know, and again, it just shows that Jesus had won, right? Jesus was there. He was guiding his disciples. Pastor Jim talked about the 153 maybe relating to kind of his, all the teachings maybe kind of being completed a few months or maybe several months ago. And so maybe that's part of what Jesus was talking to them about. But one of the interesting things to me is when you look at the text in verse 9, it talks about a lot of what we were doing this weekend, which was sitting around campfires and, you know, just sitting and talking and sharing some fish or other food and bread. And the interesting thing is when you look at the text there, it says burning coals, right? Can you all imagine if we had some chairs up here and, you know, maybe a fire pit with some charcoal or some wood up here? You know, kind of get that sense in your mind. Well, the interesting thing is the word for burning coals, if you look at some other versions, it's the word charcoal. So maybe like the fire that you'd cook your dinner on. And so it kind of intrigued me a little bit, so I wanted to look at it a little bit more. And the word for charcoal in the New Testament is actually, remember that word? Anthrax, which, you know, not a great picture if we're going to put that up there, so we didn't. But it's really kind of interesting because, you know, when you think about anthrax, what do you think about? You think about the postal people, right? About 10 years ago and the government when they were scared that anthrax was going to, like, kill everybody. So it has really kind of a negative connotation. As you look throughout kind of history, you know, it's a cow disease that causes, like, big black splotches, which apparently that powder did the same thing, which kind of, you can tell, because charcoal is usually kind of black, especially when it kind of gets cooked through. But the interesting thing is, in John, which is the only place where charcoal is used in the New Testament, it happens two times. The first time is when Jesus is on trial with Caiaphas, you know, on Monday, Thursday evening. And Peter's sitting outside in front of the fire, you know, talking about what's going on with Jesus. And what happens there? Peter denies Jesus three times. You know, so he's kind of taking in some of that anthrax, right? He's taking in some of the bad stuff. And then here, you know, Jesus kind of redeems it. He invites Peter to come to the anthrax, to the charcoal, and to have a meal. To let him know that it's finished. That Jesus is taking care of everything. And, you know, so as we look into the Revelation story, you know, there's lots of tall fish tales in there, too. I don't know how much y'all have read the book of Revelation, but it's a little scary, right? Maybe y'all haven't read it, or maybe you have, but it's a little bit scary. There's a lot of details. So if you kind of turn your bulletins over a little bit and look at the first couple verses there, you know, the book of Revelation kind of tells about how the world ends. Then chapter 21, which is where we're in today, tells us what happens after the world's kind of done. And so John tells us there's a new heaven and a new earth, because the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And as I was thinking about this text this week on the retreat, I thought, man, the guys are going to be a little bummed. There's not going to be a fishing retreat up there. No fish like that to catch. But, you know, it's kind of, there's a lot of those small details in the book of Revelation. And sometimes those bog us down because we want to understand exactly what each one of them mean. You know, as we go through the book of Daniel this summer, there's going to be a lot of those details too that are kind of, some of them are going to be a little bizarre. Some of the details you don't have to know exactly what they mean, exactly what it means maybe today or 20 years from now or a million years from now, whenever it might happen. You know, the important thing to know is that Jesus won and that the book of Revelation is in celebrating that victory. One of the ways that the Bible, and especially the book of Revelation, talks about kind of that victory celebration is as a wedding. You know, and one of the ways that the Bible describes us as the church is as a bride. And you know, how many of y'all can remember that day, if you are married, ladies, what you were wearing? You know, what your gown looked like and how it was to walk down the aisle, or guys that are here, what it looked like when your wife walked down the aisle for the first time. You know, there was probably a lot of tears, right? Ladies, help me out here. Some tears? Guys, maybe a couple? All right, we're not going to admit it, but yeah, we all probably did cry a little bit. And that's okay. You know, but it's a beautiful picture, because when we look at the wedding feast that we all went to as ourselves, you know, that's one of the highlights of our life, right? It's the time when we're the most excited to have this new relationship, this new venture happen. And that's how excited God is about us. That he would just have us be ready to go. You know, and he, in the next verse there, he says, now the dwelling of God is with men. He gives a blessing on the marriage. He says, it's going to be good. It's going to be good to go. You know, one of the things that we do in the wedding is we give vows, right? How many of y'all remember what y'all said? A few of y'all, hopefully. Something about in sickness and in health and richer and poorer and all those things, right? Till death do us part, right? You know, the interesting thing is in the wedding ceremony in heaven, it's going to be a little different. It's not going to talk about sickness. It's not going to talk about poor. And definitely the word death is never going to come up, because those don't exist up there. It's simply good stuff. It's the celebration that never ends. You know, but unfortunately, as we're here on earth, we say those words because they're important. Because sickness does come. Cancer comes, right? Heart disease comes. Other things come into our life. When kids come, difficulties come, right, parents? Not every kid is perfect 100% of the time. Even if they are, they're not exactly where you want them to be, maybe. Husbands and wives, sometimes difficulties come up, right? Where you just want to try to figure out some different ways of doing things. You know, sometimes it's maybe with work, and there's issues that come up that you can't figure out, or you can't change. Maybe it's, you know, that the job isn't there anymore. You know, there are all kinds of emotional stuff that can weigh us down and just have us overwhelmed with life, where the tears tend to flow, right? Where we just don't know exactly where we are or what to do. I've been with many of y'all in some of those moments where the tears are flowing, and that's wonderful. One of the things that I look at is the verses that are up on the screen, where God himself says, I'm going to wipe every tear from your eye. There's not going to be death or mourning, no crying, no pain. Everything is going to become new. You know, so in those moments that we have right now, those moments that are challenging to us, those moments where we struggle, where we hurt, know that those are only temporary. It too will pass. God will be there to walk us through those moments. He'll be there to hold our hand. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean those tears aren't going to come right now. It just means that he's going to be right there with us to help us make it through the journey. It means he's going to renew us and make all things new, which is what he says right in that next verse, which is one of my favorite verses. And I was thinking about a couple pictures, and I didn't coordinate too well with Pastor Jim because he had a much cooler picture of a thing sprouting for Sprouting Thomas. But, you know, as I thought about spring, one of my favorite things is when the plants just start budding, when they start coming out of the ground. You know, and it makes me think that a lot of times in life, that's what happens. Sometimes we have to go through some pain where we can't see anything and we don't know what's going on. And God's working something wonderful. He's making something new in our life that just has to kind of sprout a little bit, and maybe we catch a foretaste of it, but you know, it takes a little while to kind of come to fruition. My favorite picture is that the second one, though, because I think at a lot of times in our life, we can stand in front of that mirror and be either person. As a young man, you can look in the mirror and see, you know, a gray hair or two, or maybe just the way you feel that day, and you see the older version of you. Maybe as you get older, you probably look, and if you're a World War II guy, maybe you see yourself in your dressed uniform, the way you were at age 18 when you thought you could conquer the world. You know, what God is telling us, though, in verse 5 is that he's going to renew us. He's going to take us and give us the best of us. He's going to bring us back to that younger man or that younger lady that maybe had all the energy, if you don't have the energy, or maybe that has the wisdom, if you still feel like you need some wisdom out there. He's going to renew us so that we're exactly where he wants us to be. One of the other interesting things about this text that I was looking at was the next verse. And it says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the waters of life. To those who are victorious I will inherit all this, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my children. So when I first looked at this verse, I thought it might be that same word in Greek, where Jesus says, it is finished on the cross, which would have been, like, super awesome, right? Unfortunately, it's a slightly different word, but it's still really cool. And it comes from the word genomai, which means they have come to pass, or And so the verb, the way it's used, is in the perfect active indicative case, which is, you know, grammar kind of jargon to say it's a past tense verb, so it's happened in the past, but it still has action or still affects all the way into the future for the forever. And so when you look at that verse, it's really kind of interesting because, you know, what God's saying is, I've got it taken care of. Everything's come to pass. Everything's happened that I wanted to have happen. And so the effects continue to happen. So I'm always going to give the thirsty water. It's never going to cost anything. And it's going to be the water of life. They're going to inherit all this. And I love the end there where it says, I'll be their God, and they'll be my children. You know, it's kind of that claiming when we come to the wedding, you know, that each family is claiming a new person. And not just a new person, but the rest of the family, right? You're being invited to the table forever. And that's exactly what God does for us in the book of Revelation. He says, welcome to my table. I'm going to be with you forever. You never have to worry about anything. I'm going to take care of you. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of water. I'm going to take care of you everywhere you go. So when you look at the book of Revelation, sometimes it looks like a big puzzle. You know, and sometimes our lives look like a big puzzle, don't they? Sometimes you think you put all the pieces in the right place. Maybe even here at church, we think we put all the pieces in the right place, and then one of the pieces is not exactly in the right spot where it pops out. You know, and ultimately, what the book of Revelation does for us and what our God does for us is he puts all the pieces together. He puts back the puzzle to exactly where it needs to be. And that's what Revelation is all about. As one of my buddies was saying, Revelation is Jesus wins. That's your two-word explanation. If anyone asks you what the book of Revelation means, Jesus wins. You know, it's just a celebration of that victory. And it's a celebration of that moment. You know, so as you read through the book of Revelation, whether you kind of read through some of the verses this week or as you read through it later on, know that it's God's way of telling us there's hope. Whatever we're going through right now is just temporary. There's always going to be hope for the future. You know, there's going to be tears right now. We're going to cry. We're going to have pain. We're going to have illness, sickness. But that's going to be temporary. Ultimately, God's going to bring us healing. He's telling us, forget all the brokenness. Forget that there's a couple pieces missing up there. Forget that there's a couple pieces missing in here. I'm going to renew it. I'm going to make you new. That's what he's telling us today. That's what he's telling you this week. I'm restoring you. I'm ready to use you exactly where I want you to be. So as you go throughout this week, I encourage you, read through this text again a couple times. Know that God's got it all taken care of. Jesus won. This is what we're looking forward to. This is a celebration that we have. You know, try to forget the brokenness that you experience, whether it's in yourself or the people that are around you, and show Jesus' love to them. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and nourish you as you go throughout this week. Amen.